going to start this year off right. We're going to sing a song for Brother Larry Hart this morning, one of his favorites.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith, for you are never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Things go wrong, He'll make them right. For the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God. But it's down in the valley, trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the
day is still God in the night.
God of the day
is still God in the night.
For the God on the
mountain is still God in the valley.
Things go wrong,
He'll make them right.
For the God of the good times
is still God in the bad times.
The God of the day
is still God in the night.
The God of the day
is still God in the night.
Amen. Yes, He is.
Man, that's good singing this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. A couple of things I want to announce before I get into the message this morning. We are going to have Awana tonight. We will be starting our Bible study back tonight. We have Awana here at the church for, Puggles. Do we do Puggles all the way through high school? So we've got fully covered there. I mean, I've been involved in Awana in a couple of different churches, and sometimes they didn't go through high school. They stopped in the fifth grade. But we go all the way through, and it's a good program. It's kind of like Bible school on a weekly basis. You learn scripture and you have fellowship and they have game time. And we appreciate those who are involved in Awana. And if you're not involved, we'd invite you to come see what it's about. Now, Awana starts at 5:30. And we've been at 5:45. We have a Bible study that goes for about 45 minutes. We've been studying through the book of Ruth. And it's a pretty deep Bible study and I've enjoyed being able to study it. So we're going to get started back with that tonight. Another thing I'll say, we had good news since we've been in church this morning. I mentioned a minute ago that Miss Donna Hilton may have to have surgery, but we just got word that things are looking up, and she's not going to have surgery. So we praise the Lord for that. I want to read this morning, I guess you call these my life verses. You ever been somewhere and you have these big-time preachers and they preach, and you know, that you ask them to sign your Bible, and they put their verse in there beside it. Well, if I were ever a big-time preacher and I got to sign Bibles, these are my verses. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and verse number 6. Now, I touched on this briefly Friday night at the singing. You know, I had just a few minutes there to stand and speak a few words, but I want to try this morning to bring this message out of this scripture. And the title is How to Live Life to the Fullest in 2016, and I'll tell you why that title. I was listening to the radio this week, and they were talking about New Year's resolutions. And they said the most popular New Year's resolution for 2016 and beyond, and next year, is live life to the fullest. That's what people were saying, so many people that, you know, it eventually become the resolution, live life to the fullest. But when I begin to think about it, and I begin to think about this scripture, and it begin to work into my heart and my life, a lot of people are saying we're going to live life to the fullest, but they're trying to live life to the fullest without God. And I want to tell you this morning, you cannot live life to the fullest without God. I was recently, and I've been to several funerals in December, but I was recently at one, and a preacher got up, and he mentioned several different times about a man who lived the vast majority of his life, and I'm talking about right up to the very last hours, without God. And he made the comment a couple of times that the man lived his life to the fullest, but I want to tell you right now, he did not. He did not live his life to the fullest, and I'll tell you how he lived his life. He lived it in vain. Because if you're living your life and you're not living it for God, you're living it in vain. You're wasting an opportunity that God has given you. Every day that you don't live your life for the honor and glory of God, you're wasting an opportunity. And I want to read this scripture this morning, my favorite, some of my favorite scripture. Y'all hear me say that a lot. This is my favorite scripture. Then the singers get up and sing, and I say, that's my favorite song. Well, I love it. I mean, I love being in the house of the Lord. I don't come to church saying, oh, I have to go to church. I come to church on Sunday morning because if I had tickets to the Super Bowl, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather be here. I'd rather be in the house of God, and Sunday morning to me is like the Super Bowl every Sunday. And if you ever get to the point that you commit your life to God, that's the way you'll feel. Because there ain't nothing like having the peace of God in your heart and in your life. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and verse number 6, the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now I want you to first look at the negative words, which are in the fifth verse. They're in the latter part of the fifth verse, where it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. And here's what I want us to understand. When people say, well, I'm going to live my life to the fullest, here's what you need to understand. Man's way is not God's way. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, just a few pages over, there's a verse that says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Another place in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 7, Paul says this, in the last days that men will be, this is part of the verse, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, I believe we're living in those days where men are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, we're intelligent, aren't we? I mean, we've come up with things, and I want to tell you, I mean, man can only do what he does because God allows us to do it, okay? The only reason we can go down to the airport and get into an airplane and fly across the country in just a few hours is because God has done exactly what he said he would do in the scriptures in the last days, that many would run to and fro and knowledge would be increased. Now, there was a summit recently where people from China came to the United States, and our president had the leaders of Apple and several other of these big companies, and he had them sitting there, and they were really introducing them and talking about the knowledge and the technology. Now, we've got something in our pockets called an iPhone. Now, you know, most of you have got one. A couple of you have flip phones still.
I would still have a flip phone, but the company won't issue me one anymore. Because the only thing I do is end and send, and my son has taught me how to text, so now I can do that. But you stop and think about it just a minute. We've got airplanes. We've got iPhones. We've got computers. We've got space travel. A man is very, very clever. However, it seems like the more intelligent that man becomes and the smarter that he thinks he is, the more decay we see in society. Yesterday, we were listening, and my wife and I were talking, and she heard on the news to where just right down on Fairburn Road, a young lady actually ended up getting shot because she would not release her hoverboard. We hear about it in different places around the country where people are killed on the street for their Air Jordan tennis shoes. We have a problem in this country with crime and with sin, but we're so intelligent, you're going to live life to the fullest. You're not going to do it without God. See, it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. We're so smart, but we cannot solve our own problems. Now why? And I believe this with all my heart. It's because man cannot have true success without God. Now I want you to think about it for just a minute. What is success? And this is what I believe success is for any person. Success is not owning a company like Apple and living your life and dying without God. If you die without God, I don't care how much money you got. I don't care who knows your name. I don't care what billboard. I don't care what radio station you're on. I don't care what you were the president of. You've lived your life in vain. And you're going to spend eternity without God. Success is this. Success is the progressive realization of the will of God for your life. It says you move forward and you're listening to the voice of God. Success is becoming and being what God wants you to be. That is success. Now, it is our privilege, it's our job, it is our duty to find the will of God, to follow the will of God, and to fulfill the will of God. You see, sometimes people say, well, you know, it's almost like this. I have to do the will of God. You don't have to. It is your privilege to do the will of God. Now, how do we do that? I want to give you these just real simple steps here. The first one, looking back at the scripture, in the fifth verse, the first thing he said was trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The first thing I want you to understand, the first point, is that there must be a trusting confidence. See, if you're going to find the will of God and you're going to live life to the fullest, you must have a trusting confidence in God. It's not in a program. It's not in a philosophy. Not in a denomination, not even in a preacher or a teacher, but trust in the Lord. And I want to say this right here. Any preacher or teacher that tries to get you to see them, get away from them. Amen. Because anybody in your life that you look at as a mentor or a preacher or a teacher, they need to be pointing you to Christ. Because there's nothing that happens that's about us or by us. It's all about Him, okay? Amen. So it's about the Lord. Trust in the Lord, a trusting confidence. Now, ask yourself the question, why do we not or would we not trust in the Lord? As I begin to look at this and I begin to listen to it, I believe perhaps it is because we do not love the Lord. See, here's what's very difficult. It is very difficult for you to trust a person that you do not love. That's why we teach our children, don't talk to strangers. You know, I run into young people sometimes or be at the store and meet somebody and their parents are trying to introduce them to you and they look at their mom and they say, well, you told me not to talk to strangers. But have you ever had a stranger look at you and say, just trust me? It's like going down to the used car dealership and you got a guy smiling trying to sell you a car. But for some of you ladies, it's like when you go down to have the oil change and they come back and it's going to be $119 because they got to do this and they got to do this and they got to do this. There's been more than one time my wife would call me and said, do we need to have all this done? I said, tell them no. Amen. Do you trust a stranger? See, a lot of times the reason people don't trust the Lord, they don't love the Lord. And the reason they don't love the Lord is because they don't know the Lord. Now you think about this one for just a minute. Well, if you knew Him, you would love Him. because I believe this is not just a song. To know Him is to love Him. And the reason the people don't know God is because they've not been spending time with God. You see, we don't love Him because we don't know Him. We don't know Him because we've not been spending time with Him. And what we need to be doing is spending time with Him. See, because as you come to know the Lord, you will come to love the Lord. And as you come to love Him and you come to know Him, you will come to trust Him. And as you come to trust Him, I believe with all my heart that you will come to be blessed by Him. Now, they mentioned they're going to be showing the movie War Room here on Friday night. And one thing, and I watched it again, and I'll just give you this little part of it. There's a wall plaque that the lady has to where she has written at the top of the plaque, answered prayers. Now, I don't know if you've done this, but I've actually thought about doing it for this church. If we look back over the last year and we look at what God has done, we just told you just a minute ago of a prayer request, but God has answered a prayer right here while we're in this service, that Brother Bruce got a text and said his mother was not going to have the second surgery. We have miracles sitting in the house with us this morning because God is a God that hears and answers prayers because He wants to bless you. He wants to love you. He wants to treat you kindly. I get my boys sometimes, and you know, if I could get them calmed down enough, just listen to me. Just listen. And I've told them, boys, you ever said this to your kids? I want to bless you. I want to give you things. I want to take care of you. And I believe that's every parent's desire. You'll give them everything you can. Sometimes you as a parent have to be disciplined yourself or you'll spoil them rotten. But you know what? God wants to bless you. God wants to pour heaven out on you. He wants to show you kindness. He wants to show you love. But when's the last time you were in His presence thanking Him, praising Him? See, you gotta love the Lord. To love Him, you got to know Him. And to know Him, you got to spend time with Him. Now, the second thing you got to be, or you got to have, if you look at the scripture in the 6th verse, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. There must be a total commitment. You see, sometimes people want to come to the Lord, and they want to come to the Lord when they need the Lord. And this is something that I've seen lately, and I want to tell you something. You live your whole life away from God and out of church. And I just don't understand this, but this is a lot of times what people do. But you know, we get right down to the end and we start looking up. God wants us to live for Him every day. Okay, and I want you to understand something this morning. I mentioned this Friday night. Not everybody is going to heaven. In order for you to go to heaven, you have to have a personal relationship with a living God. And you have to know Him personally for yourself. God is not a spare tire. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He wants to be a part of your everyday life. See, what God wants is He wants to be a part of your life on Sunday morning. And I'm glad you're here. I love coming to the church. I love singing. You know, we were there Friday night, and I heard these 5 groups, and I got up 2 different times, and I invited them all, and I looked over at Brother Keith, and he said, oh, I can't take him nowhere. But I want you to know something. When I was in there, and I was listening, and I want to tell you, this group's coming in March is going to be a blessing. I like to worship. When I'm out in the woods and I'm out there and I see the sun come up, and somebody mentioned this to me a couple of weeks ago. They said, you know, anybody that's never been out there and saw the crystals of ice burn off the leaves as the sun comes through and talk to the Lord in the morning, just don't know what it's like. It's about being out there close to God. That's why it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. It's in business. It's in recreation. It's in domestic life. It's in worship life. It's in leisure time. It's everything that you do. See, the Bible teaches us, even in our work, it says, all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That's why you say, well, I don't have a job like this, or I don't have that. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you do it for the honor and glory of God. If you're a plumber, be God's plumber. If God's given you a job to sweep the floor, sweep it singing songs and praising His name and be the best one to do it. in all thy ways acknowledge him. A total commitment. I heard a story of an African missionary who had a son. A lot of times this is the way it is. Children are born in the mission field and they're out there in that life. And some of them take to it naturally. Some of them pull away and want to go a different way. But the son had the missionary had a son. The son wanted to be an engineer. He moved away to go to school and he received a letter from his father. The letter had these words. 'Tis but one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. The young man was sick at the time, but as he lay there, he bowed his head in prayer, and he prayed this prayer. Anytime, anywhere, any cost. Now, to pray that prayer, I want to tell you something. There's fear in me. I have fear in me. We especially, I think, as men, we fear not being in control. But the truth is, we don't need to be in control. We need to let God be in control. And as I look at this, I ask myself the question, you ask yourself the question, are we willing right now to pray that prayer? Anytime, anywhere, any cost. And here's what I want to tell you. If you want to live your life to the fullest, this prayer is the prayer to pray. It's like saying this, I'm going to write a blank check and I'm going to hand it to God and I'm going to sign it and I'm going to say, Lord, you fill in the lines. Could you imagine going down to the car lot to the stranger? Said, I'm going to write this blank check and sign it. You fill in the lines. You don't trust him. But do you trust God? See, remember that if we're not trusting him, it's because we don't love him. And if we don't love him, it's because we don't know him. And if we don't know him, it is because we've not been spending time with him. And this is something I want to share with you that I believe that is very true, is we should not be afraid of the will of God. See, the will of God is not something that we have to do. It is something that we get to do. And I will tell you that God will choose for you what you would choose for you if you had enough understanding to do it. If we could walk just simply in the will of God. And I can remember I was speaking to a youth group. It was actually in a WANA group, a journey group. And I used to actually get to do their lesson quite often on Sunday afternoon over at Macklin. But this is something that God spoke into my heart. But this is something that's not commonly said in the world in the time that we're living in today. But I want to share it with you because I believe it. It's better to live a short life that honors God than it is to live a long life that dishonors him. But you see, we're not willing to believe that. We're not willing to say that because we want to hold on to what we see and understand. But the will of God is the best thing for your life. That's why you cannot live life to the fullest if you're not living it for the honor and glory of God. See, sometimes what happens is we tend to slander the character of God by making it seem that the only choice we have is to do the will of God on one hand or having fulfillment on the other hand. You know, the Bible teaches plainly that godliness with contentment is great gain. And we look around us at the world today and we see people who have much, but what do they want? The answer is a little more. Just a little more. How much does it take? Just a little more. What are you reaching for? Just a little more. But I will tell you that I went through life and I learned from watching my dad, the way he lived his life, godliness with contentment is great gain, because I saw a piece of God in him, in the way that he lived, that I've not seen in people who have a lot of what this world has to offer. That's why all you have to do is look at Hollywood. And you look at these child stars that are coming up, and they're so cute when they make movies like The Parent Trap. And then you turn around a few years later and they've got a rap sheet that's so long it takes just about all the money they've made just to keep them out of jail because you cannot find contentment in this world without God. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now, when I read those verses, there's been times in my life that I was seeking God and I couldn't see God. I didn't know what God was doing, but God spoke to me and I come to believe this. And I want you to believe this, that if you're seeking God, he's always working. And this is something I want you to know, that God is working even when you don't see it. And if you'll commit to him, if you'll trust him and you'll commit to him, the Bible teaches us in the second part of this sixth verse, it says, he shall direct thy paths. And I like this part of this scripture and this part of the lesson, because what it's teaching us, that if we commit to him and we trust him, there will be, number three, a thrilling consequence. And here's where it's at. There will be a divine direction. And with that divine direction, there will be a divine dynamic. God's going to move. I want to see God move. Have you ever thought about, I want to see God move in such a way that when God moves, people will look at it and say, that was God. It's like this. Sometimes things happen and people say, "What? You see what they're doing over there at that church? It's not about that church. Have you seen what those people are doing? Have you seen what that group is doing?" But when God moves in such a dynamic way, they look at it and they say, "It couldn't have been those people. It couldn't have been that church. Have you seen what God is doing?" I want God to move in such a way that people say, "Have you seen what God is doing?" In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 21, the scripture says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." See, God will say, "This is the way, walk in it." You see, sometimes I have people ask me, "Well, how do you know the will of God? How do you find the will of God?" And a lot of times my answer is this: you find the will of God for tomorrow by walking with God today. And that's kind of a summary of this, but I want you to see something specific that God has revealed to me in this scripture. But I first want us to look at a couple of things. How will God speak to us? The first is through his word. And I want to give you just a couple of different scriptures out of the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 119, there are several verses that speak about God and his word speaking to us. In verse number 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If you go up to the 97th verse, it says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Now, folks, I want to tell you, those verses are verses that ought to cause us to support a WANA program right there. Kids come in the Awana program and they learn hundreds of verses. When they go out into the world and they're faced with the world, here's what the Holy Spirit does. It brings the Word of God that's implanted in your heart immediately back up so that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and lets you know who you belong to and gives you direction. David in the 119th Psalm, in the 18th verse, he said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You go up to the 9th verse, and I like these verses. We often use them with our youth. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." You know, when we look at this scripture, The first way I want you to see that God speaks to us is through His Word. Much of the will of God is revealed right here in His Word. But here's something I want you to understand that God's not going to do. God will not lead you against His Word. There's been times I've had people come to me and they want to counsel. And what they're really looking for is they're looking for somebody that'll give them the okay to go do something. And usually, a lot of times, it's against the Word of God. But they say, God's leading me. And I say, well, there's a verse right here that says, God won't lead you that way. You see, God's not going to lead you against His Word. And the first way that God speaks to us is like I heard Him say recently, here's your text message right here. Doesn't it say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. First through His Word, the second is through answered prayers. Now, He does answer prayers. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's not right now. I have a problem with that not right now. But here's something I want you to think about. When you pray, look for two things. And if you hadn't done this, you might want to get a piece of paper out and write down the answered prayers this past year. We've had a lot. But when you write down the answer to the prayer, I want you to start looking at it this way. Write down the how it glorifies God. Because God does not answer your prayer that you may. The scripture says we ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lusts. God answers prayer to glorify Himself. Everything that He does it for His glory. That's why we should not come and pray and say, Lord, listen, your servant is speaking. But what we should do is say, Lord, I'm listening. Would you speak? But so many times we say, Lord, your servant is speaking. So when God answers, and He does, I want you to look for how it glorifies Him. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks through prayer. But number three, He speaks through His Spirit. There's several verses here. I just want to go through these. This is in Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. It says, Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called him. You know, it seems like in the day and time that we're living in, people have quit praying and started looking at resumes. Now, folks, I don't understand this. First thing you got to be in the ministry is you got to be called. Amen. There's people pastoring churches right now that aren't even saved. But you can't be called if you're not saved. And if you don't believe two-thirds of the Bible, how can you be either one? When we get together, we pray, and we pray in the Holy Ghost, and we seek God. What did God say? He said, Barnabas and Saul. The Holy Spirit said. He speaks to us through His Spirit. You go back to the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 7, in the first part of verse number 5. It says, and my God put into my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people that they might be reckoned by genealogy. What did Nehemiah say? He said, God put it in my heart. Now, the scripture says if you trust and you commit, He'll direct your paths. I want you to give you the fourth one and the last one. He'll speak through His providence. In Revelation chapter 3, in the latter part of verse number 7, it says, these things saith He that is holy, that is true, He that hath the key of David, He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. And here's something I want you to understand about the providence of God. God, if you're seeking Him, He will direct your paths. Now, I've said this before, but it fits right here. Down there where I worked one time, there was an opening for a position. And when the opening came up and they called somebody and they brought a guy in from out of state to fill the position, I'm sitting over here at my desk. I get plumb mad. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking to myself, they didn't even ask me. They didn't ask me if I wanted that job. I work here, and I'm over there, and I'm steaming. And there's been other times that I've dealt with that. I can remember one time when there was a president, a certain president, not the one we got now, different story. But he got elected, and I'm in there, and I'm just tore up. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. God said, he's not in charge, I am. By the way, one day the very worst will be a memory. But as I was sitting there and I was upset about that job, the Holy Spirit spoke to me just like he spoke to them. And this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said. Remember, the scripture says that when he opens a door, nobody can shut it. And when he shuts the door, nobody can open it. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if I'd have wanted you to have that job, there ain't nobody here could have kept you from getting it. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that, I said, yes, Lord. And I bowed my head in prayer and I surrendered to him that whatever God wanted me to do, if he wanted me to sit right there at that desk and do that rest that job for the rest of my life and my career, I wanted to be the very best doing it that there was, because that's how I can honor God. See, the scripture says, he shall direct thy paths. And I like this part of this. The Hebrew word for direct is yashar. That word literally means to cut a path or clear the way. It could mean to make right or pleasant or prosperous or to make a way straight. But there's another place in the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3 and verse number 4, where that exact same Hebrew word is used. And I want to give you just a couple of thoughts about what God did to make paths straight and direct, to cut a path. It says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, and the crooked shall be made straight. Have you ever thought about what God did to prepare the world for the coming of Christ? You see, it just wasn't by chance that the Romans were ruling. Because when they ruled and the highway systems were put in, people could come from distances. When the census was given and people had the highways, Mary and Joseph could go to fulfill the scripture back to Bethlehem. To fulfill the scripture that's written in the Old Testament that he would be born in Bethlehem. The Greek language, which was common at the time, was a language that was literally, I believe, by God. It was part of him cutting the path so that the New Testament could be written and it could be spread abroad throughout the world. Because God has a way in his providence that when you follow him, there is no devil in hell that can get in the way of what God's will for your life is if you'll obey him. He says he shall direct thy paths. I'm going to be honest with you. When I studied this and got to this part, it was convicting. You see, the will of God is not something that we have to do. It's something we get to do. And I believe with all my heart that if any person is going to live life to the fullest in 2016, they need to get right with God. They need to seek God's will and follow him, because there are so many people out there right now that are living for the day. And here's what they mean by live life to the fullest. It's grab all the gusto you can. Make all the money you can. Get all the fame you can. Have all the fun you can. But here's the problem. This life's all they have. Just like I attended these funerals, and you know, it's a sad day. When you got the family of somebody that doesn't know what to do, that brings their loved one into the house of God. Hadn't been in 35 years. And they say, preacher, could you preach a funeral? Let me tell you about how the weight is on the preacher when he gets up to preach. It's one thing when you get up and you have a home going because somebody served God and lived for God all their life, and you celebrate and you raise your hands because of a life well lived that's not in vain. It's another when you look down and you try to present hope. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. There's always hope. We have no idea what happens in the last moments of a person's life. But I'll tell you something I don't want to do. I don't want to live my life in such a way that my kids look at mama and say, is daddy all right? I don't want my friends to come in the funeral home and say, I wonder if he was a Christian. I wonder if he had made peace with God. I wonder if everything was all right. You don't have to do that. You want to live life to the fullest? Let me tell you how you start. Number one, you accept Christ as your personal Savior. Number two, you decide that I'm going to live my life the very best that I can. Let me tell you, we played a song at the very beginning a while ago because just like you, I've been fighting the enemy. You know why we fight the enemy? It's because when you start deciding that you're going to serve God, just like when Jesus come walking up to where that little boy was at that was demon-possessed, when the demon in that boy saw Jesus, it tore him. And it threw him to the ground and tried to destroy him. And the devil sees when we start getting close to God, and he's going to make all the noise he can. That's why we're in the shape we are in the world. You know why we're fighting the battles we are in America? You know why we have the choices that we have even for leadership? Because the devil is running to and fro, seeking whomever he may devour. But you know why? Because he knows he has just a little time. All the signs point to it. God's word points to it. But people say, well, I'm just going to live life to the fullest. You're doing it without God. You're deceived. You're here this morning and God spoke to your heart. Let me tell you something. I'm being perfectly honest. I don't live my life wondering what it'd be like to live lost. I don't live my life wondering what I missed because I didn't go drinking on New Year's Eve. I don't live my life saying, boy, if I could just get my hands on some crystal meth. If I just had me a bag of cocaine. You know there's people like that right now every day. They need deliverance. They need the power of God to move on them and to help them become what they'll never be by themselves. I don't live my life wondering about that over there. And I don't live my life saying, oh, I wish I could just, you know, get away with a little bit. I live my life like Paul. Paul wanted to be perfect, but he knew he couldn't as long as he was here. Knew he'd have battles here, but he saw things in heaven that God let him see. That when he died, history says he ran to the chop block. Let me tell you something. We have more on the other side than we have on this side. I want to ask you to rise to your feet. The altars of this church are always open, but they're especially open right now. And to me, and I mean this with all my heart, the most important part of any service is this part of the service. Because this is a time that I believe that the Holy Spirit comes down and he speaks to people's hearts and he draws them. And what God's doing, that uneasy and uncomfortable feeling, is when God is wrapping his love around you. And he's just telling you that he wants to be a part of your life. And he'll telling you if you'll come to him and you'll seek him, he can change no matter what your situation is. God can change it. As they sing this song, if you feel like God spoke to you, would you please come and pray? If your heart's heavy, if you don't know Jesus, important thing. But if you've got something you're troubled about as you start this new year, start it with your relationship with God being in order. Amen. As they sing, this is your opportunity.
The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus can cleanse your deepest sin. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood. You may think there is no power that can wash away your guilt.
Carson, step up here with me. Step right up here. This is James Carson. James, we were at singing Friday night. And James come up to his mom and dad, and we've been praying for James for a while. And he wanted them to go out in the hall with him. And they went out in the hall, and James prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior.
Yeah.
And James, we're going to have a baptizing here coming up toward the end of January. James is going to get baptized.
Amen.
So, thank you, James. You have a seat. We're going to play one more song. This is one of those, my favorite songs. And I want to go ahead again and open the doors of the church, because if you're here and you want to, this is the first Sunday of 2016. If you're here and you want to be a part of this church and you want to be a part of this body, we want to invite you to do so. You can come all you want and not ever walk down here. But if you come down here, what that does is it allows us just to be able to reach out to you maybe a little bit better. And maybe it allows you to get involved. You say, well, I was involved at my last church and it didn't work out. Heard a pastor say one time, he said, this church is not like the one you just left.
Amen.
And now y'all already know I'm not like every preacher, y'all know. I'm just old-fashioned me. But it's about God. It's not about the man. So if you want to come and be a part of this body, you can come and join by statement of faith, or you can join by baptism. But if they sing a song, and also, the altars are still open. You know, the best thing you could ever do for you and your family and your life is to walk hand in hand with God. You say, well, I did and I failed. Well, that just makes you one of us. So I heard it said one time that Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he can find bread. If anybody gets themselves very much above that, pride's already separated them from God. So y'all go ahead and sing my favorite song.
God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He is Lord of all humanity, and he rules by his word. He is king of all the ages, the first and the last. I'm his child by mercy, forgiven from my sinful past. A dying Savior, bruised, shamed, and despised. He is the risen conqueror, giving victory in life. He is the risen conqueror, setting my captive spirit free. And I love him, yes, I love him, because he first loved me. When I see who he is, I realize what I am. And I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far and place me in his hands. My ears had heard the story, but now my eyes have seen his glory. And I can't take no away. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
He's my friend and gentle shepherd, my shelter from the storm. He is closer than a brother, and the rock I lean upon. He is my Abba Father, my confidence, my love. I'm depending on his goodness, lost but for his blood. When I see who he is, I realize what I am, and I wonder why a holy God would ever from his grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved. When I see who he is, I realize what I am. And I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far. Heard the story, but now my eyes have seen his glory, and I can't turn away from his grace.
I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
I'm incredibly. said.